The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two already. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. You can also get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You missed the first hour. Lots of good stuff. I mean, basically, a little sports, a little stuff. And AJ graced you with a radio tease.
I did. So, actually, now I've already forgotten what I was going to say. So, I don't know. Maybe we have to go back to that radio tease. What was my radio tease?
It was something you and Granato talked about this morning.
Oh, that's right. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. It's like, I know it's something.
I actually listened
map.
For once.
Oh, you saw our video? What'd you think?
No, I
oh,
didn't see
you listened
video.
To me.
Yeah, for a change.
Okay. So, John and I were talking about Deshaun and talking about, you know, I guess a topic on their show recently has been how difficult it is to win a championship when a certain percentage of your salary cap is dedicated to the quarterback position and what the line is. And it brought me back to, you know, is it the best move for this organization? Because the simple answer to this is yes. It's the best move for the Texans to sign Deshaun Watson to a long-term mega contract because he's the best thing they've ever had. He's got the most potential of anyone they've ever had. Yeah, is he meeting expectations to date? I don't know. I think that's probably debatable. But the reason why I say it's not as simple as that is because this team, this franchise, has married themselves to this Bill O'Brien character. And the truth of it is, once you pay Deshaun, it becomes incredibly more difficult to build a roster around him that can compete. And especially considering that this is already a roster that's they've overspent at kicker. They overspent on Whitney Merciless. They overspent at center. You know, they overspent at left tackle. They overspend all the time. And now we're going to say, well, now what happens when you've got even less money to work with? How is that going to work? How are you going to make a franchise out of this? And I don't know if they're going to be able to. I'm telling you, it sounds crazy, but it may be in the best interest of the team not to sign Deshaun Watson to a long-term deal.
I don't agree with that. I agree that you shouldn't sign him this season. I think you let it play out this year. You see what the cap's going to be. And I know the NFL's trying to find ways to make more money. I saw this silly thing about they're going to have advertisers put stuff on the tarps where there would have been fans. Which, yeah, great idea, except you're just pirating the same advertisers you already have. So I don't know that you're gonna make a bunch of money doing that. But I am a firm believer that I want to see where the cap is. And I know that they've talked about doing some things, like you can borrow against future caps and stuff like that, assuming things get back to where it was in a couple of years. And that's fine. But in this economic scenario, I wait a year. And going into his last year when he's going to make 15, that's when I sit down and say, all right, let's work this out. Just because you can do it now, I don't think you should do it now.
I full-heartedly agree with you, but I think we're having two different conversations. I'm saying once they sign Deshaun Watson to real money, this franchise is going to get worse, not better.
Well, I think it depends. It depends on how long the O'Brien experiment lasts, because this guy can't build a roster. We know that. And I don't know if you saw the ESPN thing that had them 32nd among the teams for their offseason. Well, the guy doesn't know what he's doing to build a roster, and it's going to bottom out at some point. And if 3 years down the road you wind up making a change, then you get somebody in here who knows how to build a roster around him, I think you'll be fine. There's no reason you can't be competitive. I mean, the Seahawks haven't won a Super Bowl since they paid Russell, but they're in the hunt every year. And you can do it. You can build a roster around the guy. You just have to know what you're doing. That's the bigger problem. They don't know what they're doing. And there'll be plenty of money next year. There's a lot of guys you can whack. Now, there are also guys that I think you might need. But if David Johnson actually bounces back and has a big year, are you cutting him? Probably not. And so that money wouldn't be available. But I think this is your guy. You got to lock him up, and it's important to do it. I'm just saying don't do it now. And maybe it's a different conversation.
Yeah, I just think that and I understand what you're saying. I would want to wait as well. And, of course, the question becomes, do you want to be – and Deshaun doesn't – he wants to wait until we see what Dak gets. He wants to wait until we see what Patrick Mahomes gets because he's probably going to try to get more. It is sort of a game of chicken because if you're the Texans, you want to get Deshaun's deal done before the Chiefs get Mahomes' deal done, right?
Absolutely. And if you're Patrick Mahomes, you kind of want to wait on both these guys because you know you're going to get more than them, and you should. And it'll be interesting because the Chiefs are going to be in the same boat. They're going to be in a situation where their quarterback is making a ridiculous amount of money, and you know, but the difference is they're better at building a team around him.
And you say it, still... you say it like Patrick Mahomes making more money is the way it's going to be, but the fact is, and we all know Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback and deserves the most money, but if he gets his deal done first, Deshaun is going to go to Bill O'Brien and say, "I want to be the highest paid quarterback in the league." And then what's Bill O'Brien going to say?
Well, if I'm Bill O'Brien, I say, I tell you what, when you win an MVP and a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP, you can get paid more than Patrick Mahomes.
No, all you've got to do is be good at practice. You already know this. What had Laremy Tunsil done to prove that he should be the highest paid left tackle in the league? Nothing.
Well, he was up at the right time.
That's what Deshaun will say. It's my turn.
Yeah, well, there's a difference in how I would run the team and how Bill O'Brien would run it. And, yes, he's going to overpay because that's what he does. And he'll probably pay him some ridiculous amount. And, yeah, it's going to make building a roster more difficult, especially when the cap comes down. But it comes back to if you want to have an even remotely competitive team, then Deshaun Watson's going to be the reason you have it. And if you're Bill O'Brien – and you're as limited as he is as a coach and a GM, you make sure you keep that guy because that's the one thing that's going to keep
you relevant. I mean, yes. I get that, but I also you have to know once you pay him, it's going to be impossible to build a team around. I mean, the Seahawks they've been able to remain competitive, but the Seahawks aren't a threat to win the Super Bowl anymore.
Not, I mean, they could get hot at the right time and pull a Raven, but for the most part, no, they're not. Yeah, you know, they're not close, but they're not that far away.
Is there any question that the Seahawks have a better front office and better coaching staff than the Texans? It's not even a question.
No, none whatsoever.
So if they've been unable to do it, and here's the other part to that, I think Russell Wilson is just a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's certainly more proven. I just think he's better. So if they've been unable to get back with a better quarterback, a better coach, a better GM, How the hell are the Texans going to get someplace they've never been with all their limitations?
But that's not their goal, AJ. Their goal is to keep putting
up
AFC South
players.
And they'll be able to keep doing that with Deshaun. I mean, not every year, but and if you're Bill O'Brien, you have to have the guy. It's that simple. I still think you can build. I know that I heard John going over the numbers a little bit this morning, and yeah, I know how hard it is when a quarterback takes up that much of your cap, but a shrewd GM and a shrewd front office can get players.
Where are you going to find that?
Get them. Well, that's the problem. And you know, and so to me, you don't not sign Deshaun Watson because you have a dumb front office. And that's the thing. You at some point re-sign him because that group wants to keep its job, and the only way to do it is to have him around. But building a team around him is, yeah, he's going to have a, you know, and there's a lot of quarterbacks that go through that. They just have a bunch of nobodies around them. And at some point, that's got to catch up with O'Brien. And when it does, you sure want to have Watson around here. And somebody asked if Watson got a mega offer from another team, you take it. He can't get another offer from another team, not for at least 3 more years.
Yeah, and that's what Dustin says. What if Watson doesn't want to sign here, is waiting on free agency to bolt? I mean, that's the beauty of – well, and I, you know, I'm not a fan of the tag, but they could just tag him.
Yeah. So
like, it's,
he's
a
got
it's a while before he can just go off and take his talents to South Beach or whatever he wants to do. That's a good ways away.
Technically, they could tag him twice, and so he'd be under contract for 4 more years. So he can't go anywhere. And, you know, unless he does what Hopkins did and forces his hand with O'Brien, and O'Brien sells him for some magic beans.
Yeah.
But 9-3-6. So isn't that what Dak is doing now, saying it's his turn? Watson hasn't done anything Dak hasn't. Plus, Watson had the best wide receiver in the league. I don't think he's had the best wide receiver. He had one of the best. And Watson's a better player than Dak Prescott. And I won't hear an argument to the contrary. I just think it's silly. So, look, Dak's a nice player. But let's – if you flip the – we talked about this earlier. You flip those two guys.
Flip their situations.
The Texans are lucky to be a playoff team. Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender. My opinion. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. But just, yeah, I do think if you're a shrewd organization, you can build. And the problem is the Texans just aren't a shrewd organization. So no,
well,
I wouldn't.
That's
not
a pretty
sign
big problem.
Well, it is a problem, but it's there's nothing you can do about that until things fall apart. And if they're going to fall apart, then and all these moves they made this offseason, if those bite them in the ass, then, yeah, I mean, at some point, maybe ownership looks at it and says, okay, let's try something different. And really, there's no excuse for O'Brien now because he has all the power.
Yeah.
He has complete control. So if he doesn't win, there's nobody else to put this on.
Well, but let's also remember that Bill O'Brien is the same human person who said that Tom Savage gives them a better chance to win than Deshaun Watson.
Well, he's a blatant liar. He hasn't since he's been here. Let's not, you know. I mean, I'm not going to hold that against him just because he lies through his teeth every chance he gets. So, all right, let's take a break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So we asked, if you swapped Mahomes and Dak last year, would Kansas City have won the Super Bowl?
No.
I'm going to say no.
No. They definitely wouldn't have beat the 49ers.
No, and well, they would have been, you know what they would have been? They would have been what they were with Alex Smith, really close to being a great team, but not quite there.
Yeah, I don't know if they would have beat the Texans.
Yeah, I don't know if they would have either. So
you think Dak's coming back from that mega deficit? I don't know.
Well, he didn't do it last year.
So, yeah.
That stat that we had, that he was one of two quarterbacks to throw 30 touchdown passes with zero game-winning drives.
Well, and that's the thing.
Cousins being...
It's also not super fair to compare anyone to Patrick Mahomes. The problem is people want the same kind of money Patrick Mahomes is going to get. That's when it becomes, to me, that's the only way to do it, is say, okay, are you Patrick Mahomes? Are you Russell Wilson? And, I mean, you could. There's guys like... Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, and obviously Tom Brady,
who have the kind of skins on the wall that can say, well, I've done everything he's – hell, Ben Roethlisberger's got those skins on the wall. Say, I've done everything they've done. Those guys have also gotten their big paydays. I also think no one's going to believe – no one believes that Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers are on – are still even – on the right side of the peak of their career. They're all on, they've got a down arrow. Russell Wilson, I don't know if he's got a down arrow. I don't know if he's got an up arrow anymore, that we may be seeing what Russell Wilson is at his peak. And it's still pretty damn great. Don't get me wrong. But I just don't know if we don't know where Patrick Mahomes' ceiling is. It could go on forever. As far as we know, we may not have seen the best of him. The truth is, until you're one of those guys, I don't want to pay you like one of those guys. And Russell Wilson was good enough to win his team a Super Bowl in his first contract. And he got rewarded for it. And, I said, man, I don't know if this is a great idea because I don't know if they're going to be able to maintain that roster. They obviously weren't. But you can't blame Russ. He did his job. The question is, do you want to gamble on one of these guys and hope that they turn into what Russell Wilson already was in his rookie deal?
Right. But part of that, and with all the guys you mentioned, other than Brady, how many of them won a Super Bowl after they got the big payday? And with the Seahawks, it's a little,
that's
probably
it.
That's the only one. But the problem with the Seahawks is, and using them as an example, it wasn't just Russell Wilson that they drafted and had on a light contract. Richard Sherman was on a ridiculously – he was a fifth-round pick. They had a bunch of guys like that, and they all came up at once. And so you had to decide which ones you were going to pay.
But also, Fred, part of why that team – and I'll give you another example of this same thing, the Baltimore Ravens, when they won the Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, who was on a rookie deal. Part of what makes those teams different than this Texans team is those are great franchises. Those are well-respected, well-run organizations that you can count on them to do that. I expect the Ravens to put to build a good team and to make sound decisions. I expect the Seahawks to do that. I just don't feel that way about the Texans.
Well, I'm not disputing that at all, but it's really a different point I'm making. The point I was trying to make is it's easy to blame Russell Wilson for the Seahawks not being able to keep everybody, but the reality was all of those guys were going to get paid.
But that's why I said you can't blame them for doing it, just like you can't really blame the Ravens for paying Joe Flacco. We all knew it was a bad idea, but look at what he did. What are you going to do? Not pay the guy? You can't just say, I know you won us a Super Bowl yesterday, but we don't think you're that good. No, they did what they had to do. They paid him, and they went into a lull as an organization, much like the Seahawks did.
But that's the difference between one of the many differences between Patrick Mahomes and these other cats. He won you a Super Bowl. He won you an MVP. He's done everything that you draft a guy to do already. And so, yes, you're going to pay him. And if your team winds up not being as good, is anybody going to be pissed off about that?
No.
Is anybody going to say, oh, gosh, maybe we shouldn't have paid the guy for winning us a Super Bowl? Well, the other two guys we've been talking about.
The Ravens did that. Ravens fans did that eventually. Not at first, but eventually they were like, oh, what were we thinking? But the truth of the matter was you had to do it. My point is you reward the guys who have done the ultimate thing. You don't reward guys because you think maybe in a couple years they might get to the level where they can do that thing, because the odds are once they get that money and you have a harder time building a roster around them, the likelihood that they're going to win that championship becomes pretty slim.
Well, and there's a big difference. Flacco was never an MVP. Flacco was a guy who had an amazing run in the playoffs and played the best football of his career at the exact right time. And so, there was always going to be some blowback on that, But he did win you a Super Bowl. And would you trade that? And absolutely not. And that, and that's the thing. And yes, those are better organizations, and they'll figure it out. But the Ravens screwed that up, and they know they did. And now they're in a real good spot because guess what? They got a quarterback on a rookie deal.
Yeah. And then so, when the time comes to pay Lamar Jackson like he's Russell Wilson, they're going to have a decision to make. You know, but you know what? They did a smart thing. They traded up into the first round to get him, so they would have that fifth-year option on him when they could have easily just taken him in early in the second. But they, because that's a well-run organization, they don't pay above sticker price for everything like the stupid Texans do. And, you know, they've got a chance. They've got a longer window.
And just to circle it back to the Texans, I don't hate all the moves they've made. But, it feels like, okay, this is going to be our all-in year. Then why'd you trade DeAndre Hopkins? It's just like the Clowney deal last year. It's like everything, you know, all right, we're going to throw all this into this. And if you had taken on David Johnson and he had not been what you traded Hopkins for, I might have even been okay with that because you could get rid of him next year if he came with a very small price. And I like the fact that you're going to, okay, we're going to pay our left tackle. We're going to be set here. And some of the other moves they made, I like. The problem is, if you're going to go all in, why are you getting rid of one of your best players? It's the same thing they did last year.
Yep.
So it just doesn't add up no matter how you want to slice it.
You either decide, hey, we're rebuilding, or hey, we're going for it right now. And if the answer is you're going for it right now, which is the only thing that makes sense for the Texans because they have a quarterback on a rookie contract, it's the only thing that makes sense, then why do you get rid of Jadeveon Clowney for nothing? Why do you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins for nothing? There's mixed signals constantly coming out of that building. And you know what the answer is? It's practice.
Well, it's he wants his guys. Well, guess what? You got him. You damn well better win with him. And to me, I said all along, they should have been the Rams from 2 years ago. You go out, you add these veterans, you spend the money for 1 year, and you make your run. And guess what? They got to a Super Bowl. Well, then you had to pay Jared Goff, and you couldn't keep all those guys. I'm okay with that. I really am. But do it right. If you're going all in, that doesn't mean you pull half your stack and stick it in your pocket before you do it. That's not how you play. And that's the frustrating part about this team.
All right. Plenty more where that came from. I got to give TGS, thanks to our fine listeners here at this radio station, TGS is one of the fastest growing agencies in the entire state of Texas. How about that? Partly because they just do business better. They do it more conveniently. Why are they growing so much faster? They're actually saving you money on your home insurance, and you're not having to go into an office and talk to people because nobody wants to do that. Let's face it. That's not fun. All you got to do with these guys is send a text message. You're doing that anyway. Let's face it. If you own your home, you could afford to save some money on your home insurance, and you know how to send a text message. Text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You're going to send that back, and they're going to send you a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage in 15 seconds or less. How about that? Nearly perfect online rating. They've got over 1,000 reviews now. The average customer saving nearly $1,000 a year. I personally saved over $1,000 a year on my homeowner's insurance. There's no need to wait for your renewal because TGS is going to save you money and get you refunded on your previous policy right away. They're going to get you started today. They're open right now. Text the word money to 232323. Easy for me to say. That's money to 232323 and start saving now.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And if you want to get in, the... just want to let you know, we're still on to have the beer release Wednesday at True Anomaly. I'm hoping, since we're in studio on Tuesday, that I will be able to bring us some so you guys can have it first.
Nice.
You and Aaron and Tyler. And
all me. Right.
So working on that. May not have the labels ready by then. But
we don't care about that.
Well, yeah, but the label's really cool. I wanted you to be able to see that. And just the one last thing I want to say about your beloved Texans. It's so funny now how before the Hopkins deal, nobody really ripped O'Brien nationally. But after the Kansas City game and now that, the whole world is just piling on.
Yeah.
It's like nobody thinks this guy knows what he's doing. And I feel like if they had just listened to us over the last 3 years, I guess, about when we decided the guy couldn't coach or that he was just a very average coach, then like, did you see Bill Barnwell's thing where he ranked the 2020 offseason from worst to first?
No, but I'm not surprised.
Well, guess
where
he
the
had
Texans would fall, yeah.
Yeah, he had Tampa Bay first, which I'm like, oh, okay, really?
Okay.
But
well, if you're getting Gronk and Brady from 5 years ago, you're probably that's probably accurate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's cool that people are excited about that. I just don't know that. I don't think it's going to play out the way they hope. So, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Did you see, we were talking a little bit about bodies and the stay-at-home Rona break. Apparently,
yeah.
Nearly half of Americans worry they'll never get their pre-quarantine body back.
Well, count me amongst that group.
Well, my body's exactly the same as it was before the quarantine. So I'm not too worried about that. I'm worried about not getting back to where I'm not a hideous beast. But that's been an issue before the quarantine. But apparently the average American has gained an estimated 5 pounds since entering isolation. And yeah, it has derailed a lot of people who are trying to have a healthy lifestyle and go to the gym and things like that. So half of the people are worried they're not going to get their body back.
Well, Tyler, what's your weight situation? Have you gained or lost since we've gone to this format?
I've broke even.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Not without much effort to stay there.
Okay, so you're actually putting in a conscious effort.
I mean, I'm going on bike rides. I'm running 2 or 3 times a week. But
what about your
like,
lady friend? Has she gained weight?
No.
Okay. Would you let her know if she had?
I mean, she gets on the scale. She always looks. So.
Okay. But would you shame her into like getting after it?
No. I mean, she's pretty petite anyway. It's not like.
So you would just
noticeable.
Okay. So you're but if she had gotten let's say she'd put on 10, 15. Would you be the kind of person who nudges her like, hey? You know, we all got to work a little bit harder in these times. Or are you just kind of like a hope she sees this and does something about it?
I mean, she's kind of nudged me a little bit, so.
So you're okay to nudge her back?
Yeah, I'm like a spite nudger, yeah.
Okay, all right. Fred, your lady?
She's done fine. She hasn't gained any weight. She still looks the same, so. But she gets out and runs a lot still and stuff like that. And probably not eating as much because like she would eat at lunch at work and there hasn't been any place open like in the tunnel where all those restaurants are. So she's been taking salads and stuff for lunch. So she's doing pretty well. From what I can tell, George says he's lost 10 pounds since the gyms have been closed.
No joke. Good for you.
Wow. Yeah, but
yeah, I'm not sure how. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. And here's a lot of my problem is I'm just not that motivated right now. You know, it's hard to be stuck in your house all the time and like eat the right stuff every day.
No, I'm in the same boat. We talked about this a lot yesterday. I haven't gained any weight, but I haven't lost any. It's just, you know, I'm having a hard time with motivation with anything. I mean, I'm still playing online poker and playing a stupid golf game on my phone and drinking too much and just, you know, it has been, yeah, and especially now that I have less to do with not being involved with SportsMap anymore, it's kind of like, yeah. But I'm one of those people that once I get motivated, I'm fine, and I can kind of feel it coming. I know I'm really close to just like, okay, we're getting serious now. Boom, take 2 weeks off from drinking, work out every day, eat right, we'll get there. But I'm not there yet. It's just because there's so much sameness to every day.
Right.
I mean, it's like you get up early, I take the dogs out, I do my show prep, and then I take the dog out back and we throw the ball around for a bunch. And then I'll go and update my show prep. And you know, on Mondays and Tuesdays, I write columns. But then after that, you get to about 10 o'clock and you've done everything that you were going to do. And yeah, if I had my home gym here now, I'd probably go do that, but I don't yet. So, I mean, I basically wind up just goofing off, go out for a run occasionally, but it's getting hot now. That's getting tougher because the other day when it felt like 105, man, I did 2 miles and thought I was going to die. It was just brutal. It's like,
I like okay. So we've got a big, like a running or, you know, hike and bike trail or whatever in my neighborhood here. And, I like to go on in the summertime. I like to go out there at night where I'm, you know, it's obviously a little bit cooler, but I'm also motivated by the fact that if I slow down, I could be, you know, raped or murdered.
Yeah. I haven't gotten to the running at night thing because usually when the show's done, I just want to chill. You know, I just want to, you know, grab a drink and watch TV and not think for a little bit. But that may have to do that once we get to summer because I don't want to stop running and I don't also want to die because it's 105 degrees out. And
but you also get up really early. You could run early in the
morning.
Yeah,
and that's – but the problem is I get up really early and by the time I get the dogs out, I have to drive the wife to work. And by the time I get back, it's already starting to heat up. So I'd have to get up at 4 and I don't want to run in this neighborhood at 4 in the morning. I've seen too much crap happen. Even if I'm carrying something to protect myself.
Lamont says, and this goes back to the Deshaun thing, and actually this is a pretty prudent tweet by Lamont. When I think of the Texans, I think Bengals. They won some division titles with a stud receiver and decent quarterback. They pay the quarterback, and then they suck. I could absolutely see that happening. I think Deshaun Watson's better than Andy Dalton, but his results haven't been. I mean, it's been basically the same old, same old. They beat the Bills, okay?
They did win a playoff game. Dalton never did. That's the only difference. But they won a playoff game. Let's not let's not start bleeping each other's bleeps just yet.
Right. So, and they almost lost that one. So, I could see that absolutely being a good comp.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think that's out of line. Chad in Spring said he went from 6'3", 235 to 195 during the Rona. Damn.
Whoa.
Good
you
job,
may
wanna, buddy.
You may want to go to the hospital. Maybe you've caught the Rona.
If the Rona would get that much weight off me, I'll take it tomorrow.
Let me get some of that.
I will. Yeah. Give me some of that Rona. I don't know if you saw this. You see some of these idiots are having parties where they know somebody has it to build up immunity?
No.
In North Carolina, basically they're having COVID-19 parties.
Yeah, I don't want that.
This intentional exposure to virus, especially COVID, is really, really dangerous, said a nurse practitioner.
Thanks,
yeah,
nurse.
We know that.
I really needed to hear that.
But
but clearly there are people who do need to hear it.
There's this belief that if they become infected with the virus, they will become permanently immune to it, which we keep hearing may or may not be the case.
Well, yeah, I've heard people say I've had it twice. People have said, I had Rona twice. And here we've thought this whole time it's like chicken pox and you can have it once and then you're you know, worry-free for the rest of your life. That might not be true.
Well, the truth is we don't know.
Yep.
So why intentionally get it and then, you know, thinking that's going to solve it, and if it doesn't?
I don't know. That's a bad call. I for one, am not looking to get coronavirus. I've been pretty much I've been in that camp since the beginning, even early on in this thing when I forget, was it Tyler or was it you, Fred, that was offering people, like, would you take this amount of money to get coronavirus?
Well, no, there was a doctor in England that was offering $4,000 to get a low grade.
And you guys were like, yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. I'd still do it.
Still?
I'd still do it because it'd be the... Yeah, because it, for one thing, it'd be the low-grade version. And, yeah, so I'm a quarantine for 2 weeks. Guess what? I've been on quarantine for 2 months. I can handle
it. Yeah, but you're high risk,
I'll do the show from the hospital.
You're high risk, you know, because of your age and your morbid obesity.
I am Keith freaking Richards, buddy. I am not at risk of anything. If 409 asks, maybe I missed it, but why is Fred not involved with Sports Map anymore? Josh Jordan's taking it over. It was always the plan, was for Josh to do it. I've got some other projects.
Fred's
that
still involved.
Yeah, I mean, I write for it more, and I'm still technically over it, but I'm just letting him do his thing. I mean, it's his chance to shine, and he'll do a great job with it, and he's doing a great job with it. So it's taken a lot of work off my plate, which is good. And just stay tuned, because I've got... I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. We've got some other stuff we're working on, and once that happens, then it'll all make sense. All right, let's take a very quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're having a great one. And let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, this is from The Score, which I just started getting on a few weeks ago, and I know you've been on it for a long time. That's a really good app if you're looking for sports news. And
it is. I'm very advanced.
And things. Yeah, it's well done. But they have a story today that apparently the agreement with Mercedes-Benz is running out on the Superdome in July 2021. And someone else has already announced a $15 million bid for the naming rights.
Okay.
Are you familiar with StripChat?
I am not.
StripChat is a porn site.
Okay.
And they have bid $15 million. They would like to name it the StripChat Superdome. And for it to be home to the future Super Bowl champion, New Orleans Saints.
I mean,
pretty sure. For one thing, $15 million doesn't sound like a lot for naming rights.
But in 2020, maybe it is.
Maybe so. Maybe they'll take it. Apparently, this isn't the first time this has happened. Bang Bros offered $10 million for the naming rights to the Miami Heat's arena in 2019.
I remember that. Yeah. But you know what? Like, honestly, these guys get so much pub when they do this. I think they bid lower than they know. Like, they know that it would have to be a pretty high bid for a team to bite at it. So they throw a bid out there and they know, you know what, this we'll get a lot of pub for even trying this thing.
Well, absolutely. Because
the problem is I've already forgotten the name of the site. Strip what?
Well, StripChat.
StripChat. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, I'm not familiar with it. I have not seen their work. But you're right. That's how Pornhub gets all the attention, because They always do stats of how many people are watching after a Super Bowl and things like that.
They play the marketing game, and it's smart.
Holly says, sounds cheap and classy, like New Orleans, fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holly.
I would say. Oh, man. Anyway, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I've been getting a few questions about this for the few people out there who like horse racing. Apparently, there's this big controversy because they've shortened the Belmont Stakes to a mile and an eighth, which it's usually a mile and a half. It's the last leg of the Triple Crown.
Why are they shortening it?
Their reason is really good. It's that these horses have not trained up to a mile and a half race like they would have if you had a traditional Triple Crown, where you had the Derby at a mile and a quarter, and then you had the Preakness, and you know, all those horses are in shape and can go a mile and a half. And their thought is, you're asking way too much of these guys when a lot of them have been disrupted now for months and don't have the same buildup to it. So it's going to be the first leg of the Triple Crown, and they're going to run it at a mile and an eighth, which I think is a smart thing to do, and there'll be Derby points for it. So if you're trying to qualify for the Derby in September, you'll need to win this. And then people say, well, it wouldn't be a real Triple Crown. I think it'll be every bit as hard, if not harder, because
if they're all running the same distance, who cares?
Well, that's the thing. They're all running the same distance. But the challenge now is, in the past, you knew the schedule, right? It was Derby 2 weeks later, Preakness 3 weeks later, Belmont. Very grueling, very tough to do. Now you're talking about, okay, late June, a long gap where you're going to have to run another race or two before you get to the Derby just to stay in shape, if your horse can stay healthy. Plus, these three-year-olds, a lot of them develop later, so now you're going to be facing tougher horses the farther along you go. If someone were actually to do it, then, yeah, I think it would be, you know, I still think it would count as a Triple Crown, but I think the reality is they probably won't. I'm excited that they're having the races. You know, there won't be fans at the Belmont. I doubt there'll be fans by September at the Derby. But, you know, horse racing's done a pretty good job of keeping running here, and they haven't done it everywhere. But, I mean, for the people making a big deal out of this, I'll say the same thing that I've said about people bitching about a 24-team NHL playoff or the NBA jumping straight to the playoffs. This is a different world, guys, and you're making the best of it. So to complain about, this wouldn't be a real NHL championship or a real NBA championship, what is real in the Roniverse? Come on. And this is the same thing. It wouldn't be a real Triple Crown champion. Yeah, it would. So stop whining. Just be glad we've got this stuff. That's all I have to say.
Beats nothing, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can't sit here and pretend like, this has to be normal. I get it, traditionalists. It's like baseball. If you have an 82-game season, you already got people bitching about that. It's like, be glad we have an 82-game season. And whoever wins it, guess what? They've had to overcome an awful lot. So.
Roy the Automator says, are you rolling with the Dinos tonight? Money line is minus 154. Admittedly, as much as I am a Dinos fan, I have not bet on any KBO because I don't believe in betting on baseball anymore. I've gotten really good at avoiding that. Although I am 2-0 in like the last 3 years betting baseball. They were the two starts in the World Series where Steven Strasburg was an underdog. And I was like, that seems like a pretty fair number. Steven Strasburg, and they won both those games. The other thing, I'm not looking to take minus 154 favorites in baseball. That's a hard way to make money.
Yeah, I kind of look at it like I would fights. If I get a plus number I'm playing or an even money number I'm playing, otherwise, not for me. But I'm not going to stoop to betting baseball. I'm happy with that I have horses and poker and German soccer right now. I'm good with that. And 281 says that soft Secretariat would have won that race. People forget Secretariat lost in the Traverse Stakes the year he won the Triple Crown. And now you're talking about this kind of setup where you're going to be running later in the year. It's I think it's going to be a lot tougher. I really do, because you've got to stay healthy longer. You're going to have different horses get better later in the year. We see it all the time. So it's going to take an incredible animal to pull it off. And I don't know that that exists, but you know, we'll find out. That's the beauty of it. And you know what? More people are going to care about the Belmont than ever, except for the years when there's a Triple Crown horse. Right. Nobody cares about that race if there isn't.
Never.
Now, because it's the first one, everybody's going to care. So, yeah, I think people try so hard to have things to be pissed off about. And why would we do that? So. Nick asks, is there a difference between betting and gambling? With the research you guys do, I feel it could be considered as borderline investing. If you're trying to make a living at it, yes, it is investing. And that's why RJ and all that information is so invaluable whenever we have him or Fezzik or those guys, because it is an investment. But they're also doing it for a living. And if you're just playing for fun, and I like to balance it. I mean, I will make a lot of plays that are investments that I'm trying to make money to help augment my income. But I also will just goof off sometime and say, you know what, I'm going to put $200 in here and play the races for a while.
Yeah.
And it's just for fun. And it's just like, that's kind of what poker is right now. It's for fun. And if I win, great. If I don't, no worries. And there is a difference. And that's why I always, I'm not a fan of parlays, but if you're just playing for fun, why not? I mean, those are fine. But if you're going to try to make money over the long term and think of it as an investment, then, yeah, that's not the way to go. But there's no reason for them to be mutually exclusive. You can have a bankroll that you play for fun with, and then you can have a bigger bankroll that you're playing seriously with. And, you know, it's just individual choice. That's kind of how I do it. I have my main bankroll where, okay, I'm taking this very seriously. And then every now and then, like I said, with the soccer, I'm betting $50 or $100 a game just for fun. It's, you know, to have a rooting interest. And that's, yeah. There's no reason you can't do both. Or one or the other. It's just, it's all up to you. I think it's more fun to just, to not have to grind it out every single day and try to make money. But speaking of money, maybe you've run up your credit cards during this break. Well, guess what? LightStream is here to help. You can refinance your debt today with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can quickly roll balances from multiple credit cards into one single monthly loan payment. How about this? I don't know what you're paying on your credit cards, probably 19%, maybe more. You can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. It's much lower than the national average credit card rate, which is over 19%. There's no fees. The application's quick and easy, 100% online. Can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. So if you've got good credit, here's what you do. Apply today, and you'll get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.